We're supposed to start at 10 o'clock. It's now 8:15. I would like to ask this caucus if they don't mind that our opening, I was thinking of the moment of silence, but again I was also thinking of a short prayer. What makes me to think about the short prayer is that as a country, we are facing a lot of challenges. And according to my understanding, I know that it won't be maybe our belief sitting here. But I think as a woman, as a mother, we sometimes need to invite God. Mm. There are some situations that we, as individuals, we cannot overcome them. But we need somebody to help us in order to overcome the situation or the crisis ahead of us. So if there is one woman who wish to pray for us, you're welcome. Hoping that I'm not inconveniencing anyone. If there is something before we pray, you're welcome. Honorable Majek.
Thank you, Chairperson. And just to say that we should take cognizance of different types of religious systems. Let's just find out if there's Muslims and Jews and whether they want to, and other ones, whether they would actually also want to, for 1 minute, do something that has got to do with your religion.
I think that's what I was saying. Do we agree in... Eh? Okay. She's also suggesting that we can do it in our own mother tongue. But do we agree in a prayer? Can we rise, beautiful women of South Africa?
Raumema konyana, raumema mutimu wa kutilo,
Honorable member was praying, I felt something inside me. And I think, as women of this country, we need to find some time to ask ourselves a question, to say, are we women enough? Are we mothers enough? Are we mothering our children? Are we giving guidance to our children, to our husband, to our country? Because if we're not doing that, the one who's going to feel the pain is a woman. Whatever is happening to our kids, whatever is happening to our husband, whatever is happening to our mothers, it hit back to us as women. And I do believe that as this caucus, as parliamentarians, we are going to join hands to make sure that we get rid of gender-based violence and femicide. I know very well that it's not us only who need to stand up. But I think wherever we are, we need to say something or to educate people next to you about this. We're losing our children, we're losing our sisters, we're losing our mothers every day. Every day. Yesterday, the president called for a joint sitting. In order to address us and to address our country about gender-based violence. He even said this, I quote, "I've called this special joint sitting of the Houses of Parliament because there is a dark and heavy shadow across our land. Some people may take this light because it is happening maybe next door or somewhere else. But this is a serious thing that is happening. South Africa used to be the best country where each and everyone will feel to belong to. But now there is something emerging. It needs us. It needs all of us. It needs every one of us, not here in Parliament only, even outside. Our country, us as women, our children are under siege. Let's put our political differences aside. Let's put the color of our skins aside and fight together this animal. And I believe that if we can be united, we can be focused and give it all. At the end of the day, we'll see the fruit of this. With these few words, honorable members, you're welcome. Let's feel free and participate. What I know, or what I usually say is that we learn every day. I know that the capacity of understanding issues or things are not the same. But that, let's give one another chance to learn, because learning is a process. And one day, all of us will get there. I believe that we all have our agendas in front of us. And before we get into that, we don't have to forget that we've just lost one of our own, honorable member, a deputy minister, who has just passed on. May his soul rest in peace. I know that it's not her only. The day she passed on, there were other four members, but not members of this parliament. The people who were there where the accident happened, who also passed on. There are children that are being raped and killed. There are our sisters that are being killed and raped. There are our mothers. So believing that as women of this country, we need to take that into cognizance while remembering all these people. I think we are going to dedicate this caucus to them, meaning that we need to come up with something that will lead us in making sure that we get rid of this gender-based violence that the president was talking about yesterday. We're going to implement, we're going to oversee each and every department or each and every institution in making sure that at the end of the day, what we want to see as South Africans will see it, and we'll have that pride as women of this parliament to say we did do something in order to see a change in our country or in our communities. Thank you very much for coming. Hoping that we'll deliberate in making sure that we address some of the challenges that we're facing as a country or as women of South Africa. Item number 2 is not there, but I felt that it needs to be there, which will be the apologies. I just want to check with the secretary if there are apologies that she received. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. We received a total of 16 apologies so far, Chair.
18 apologies has been received. 16 apologies has been received. But as a caucus, we do correct. The caucus need only 15 members to correct. So I think we accept the apologies as they are. Is there something that maybe members want to say concerning that? None. Item 3 is the outcome of the 29th of August 2019 Women's Parliament, the overview, and that one will be done by Ms. J. Watson, our researcher. Joy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members, and to our guests. I think it's very strategic that we are having this Women's Caucus meeting to talk about the issues that came out of the Women's Parliament the morning after the President addressed us on the issue of gender-based violence, because the Women's Parliament dealt with the issue of gender-based violence at its heart. So the theme for this year was gender and institutionalism, and we tried to look at strengthening the national gender machinery as a response to addressing gender-based violence. We within this theme wanted to look specifically on the issue of resourcing gender-based violence, because this has become a very critical issue within the context of the economic constraints and the cuts that government departments have had to make in service delivery. So we wanted to think about creative ways of how we can resource specifically the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. Now this plan, as honourable members may know, came from the Presidential Summit on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide that took place in November last year. And the caucus had participated in that summit and helped craft the declaration and some of the outcomes. What that summit committed to was that in October of this year, the President would release a national strategic plan. And for the first time, I think what is very exciting is that we have a plan that is being written by a cross-sector of government departments, but very importantly, it's been written very closely in consultation with people from outside of government, from civil society. So some of the people who took part in the total shutdown march are very much involved in helping to craft that plan. So the summit sought to look at our responses to gender-based violence and to look at what the challenges are that we're facing and how we can come up with new and innovative ways to address that. I'm not going to go through them, but on page 2 of the resource pack, there are the objectives of the summit set out there. And we came from that summit with the establishment of an interim committee on gender-based violence. So that committee is comprised of people in government, but also people in civil society, and they are the ones who are busy drafting the national strategic plan. The idea that was adopted by the President at the summit, that going forward we would have a full-time committee on gender-based violence. So we have an interim structure until October, but in October we would have a full-time committee that would lead and coordinate our responses to gender-based violence. Now, one of the things that this interim steering committee has been grappling with is that while resources are a challenge, what research in fact shows us is that if we spend money, as expensive as it is, on addressing violence now, then in the longer term we actually save money because of the cost to society in terms of what violence costs us. So like access to services, healthcare, the days lost when people are not well and can't go to work and can't contribute to the economy. So in fact, finding the resources is a cost-saving device longer term for our society, and it's just better for the psyche and the well-being of our society. So I want to just briefly mention some of the key areas of agreement around the strengthening of the national gender machinery. The previous multi-party women's caucus had held the view very strongly that if we dealt with the problems that are currently making the national gender machinery unable to deliver on its mandate, if we fix that one thing, we'd be able to fix so many other things, because if that structure was working properly, it would be the structure that takes care of everything else. And you know, in saying this, you know, to some extent, we're very aware of what some of those challenges are. There's been work done by the CGE to review the machinery. The Department of Women had also done some work to review the machinery. But we've had different structures in that machinery say to us over the course of the past few years that there is no coordination. In fact, they're not meeting anymore. They have an overlap in their mandates. They lack authority, and they don't have adequate resourcing. Now, some of the action areas that I'm talking, or in fact, all of the action areas I'm talking to now were, in fact, they come from the Women's Parliament, but they were, in fact, the basis of the speech for Honourable Lucas, the chair of the National Council of Provinces. So she, yesterday, after the President's address, in fact, committed Parliament to looking at some of these action areas. And the action areas around the National Gender Machinery was that Parliament should facilitate a review of the National Gender Machinery. We must draw on the work that has already been done, so the work of the CGE and the Department of Women, and we must pull that together as well as the inputs of civil society in trying to understand what it is that is blocking the work of the machinery. In doing this, we have a responsibility to engage further with the structures of the National Gender Machinery, so we need to create a space for having this conversation. So those were the two action areas around the National Gender Machinery. In terms of addressing gender-based violence, in terms of the National Strategic Plan, participants at the Women's Parliament made it very clear that the extent of gender-based violence in our society has become a national crisis, and that it can be described as a form of war on women's bodies, but very, very specifically they asked us to include to expand our definition of how we see women. And so very specifically, we need to look at the violence of people within the LGBTI groups, bisexual women, transgendered women, and ensure that in our own plans we are taking cognizance of the issues of those groups. The priority areas that were mentioned, that come from the Women's Parliament, that were mentioned by the Deputy Chair of the NCOP yesterday are as follows, and they cut across the groups of women and LGBTI persons. So in the first area of legislation and policy, there was a very strong sentiment that actually what we don't need is necessarily for Parliament to focus so much on developing new legislation. One comment in this regard was the process of rewriting the Women's Charter, which was something that we had been thinking about, was not necessary, that we have two Women's Charter, they serve a purpose, and that instead the key challenge facing us here is making sure that the legislation and the policy that we have is properly implemented, because the problem is with the implementation. There were, in fact, two specific areas of legislation that were talked about for new legislation. The one is around femicide, and femicide is the killing of a woman by her intimate partner, and to make that a crime in its own right. And the second area that had emerged over the discussions was the need to have legislation that establishes the steering committee on gender-based violence, because when we previously had a council on gender-based violence, it fell apart because it didn't have any real authority. And so to avoid that going forward, we need to give the new structure mandated to co-ord gender-based violence legislative power to take on this role. Then there was the issue of political accountability, where people felt that there was a need for improvement in political accountability and our leaders being held accountable for delivery. And at a parliamentary level, one of the ideas generated here was that it might be a good idea to think about having a specific committee that is the one-stop shop for gender-based violence. So instead of having the PCO and police dealing with the policing aspects and justice dealing with the justice aspects. We would have one committee that looks across all those issues, shelters, healthcare services, everything, and that might facilitate our own progress in Parliament. Then we looked at the issue of oversight mechanisms, and it was felt in the discussions that the oversight on the services that are provided to victims of gender-based violence has got to be strengthened. So we also heard this in many of the, in what the President had to say and in some of the responses to that, where the services such as police, healthcare, social development need to be strengthened. And the very specific suggestion made here is, up until now we've done oversight where we different committees do different things. The police will go and look at the services in police, justice will go and look at the services in courts, but we have never as Parliament had our own oversight plan over a 5-year period to look at how we coordinate our oversight. So the idea is, if we're going to have a national plan for government, which is released in October, what might it do if Parliament had its own a plan that mirrors that plan, to say, over 5 years as Parliament, this is how we are going to do our oversight and how we are going to coordinate it and give it teeth. Then there was the issue of linking service delivery to government budgets, and the view was that Parliament needs to improve upon how we engage in gender-responsive budgeting and hold government accountable to providing services and integrating gender violence into their budgets. Now, honourable members, just to say that, you know, the work of the previous, in the fifth Parliament, the previous Portfolio Committee on Women, as well as the previous Multi-Party Women's Caucus, really struggled with this, because Treasury was very reluctant to do it and, you know, kept telling us that they can't do it because they need a policy framework which needs to come from the department.
Where is she reading?
Sorry, honourable members, page 4. Page 4, bullets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where it says link service delivery to government budgets. So there was tremendous frustration in the PC and the women's caucus trying to really make this work, but having officials in government who had counter responses around why it was complicated. But now the President has said that it must happen, and in fact, you know, we do need to pick this issue up and find ways of re-engaging with Treasury to say, especially if the President announced that there's going to be a fund and we're going to have an additional $1 billion set aside in services, we have to be able to see where is that money going, how do we oversee it and monitor it. And if we do that, government has to budget in a way where we can track that money. It's been very difficult to do that up until this point, to track where the money goes, unless you call departments in and ask them specific questions. And so that relates to the last bullet on page 4, which is to ring-fence budgets for gender-based violence. So what we mean by ring-fence is that if money is allocated to gender-based violence, it must be kept in a line item for that specific thing. And what we have discovered through the work of the committees in the previous Parliament is that sometimes departments will have a line item like training, and then in that line item on training, you will get the training for sexual offences, for domestic violence, but they cannot tell you how much they spent on the gender-based violence training specifically, because it's in a broader item for training. So we're saying we have to be a little bit more clearer and detailed in being able to track that money, so that members of Parliament are able to do the exercise their oversight in this regard. The last point around the budgets was that Parliament needs to start engaging with the costing of providing services for both addressing violence but also looking at prevention. So if we engage with the costing, we know on the one hand what it costs, and then we're able to cross-tabulate that against what government departments are budgeting. And we'd then be able to see this is what we need for shelters from a coastal perspective, but this is what has been given to shelters in terms of the budget, and it would strengthen our oversight. So, honourable members, I think that when Timbukazi later on presents the proposed focus areas for the caucus, when she presents that, you will see that gender-based violence is number one on that list. And that list is for members to tell us whether they agree that these should be the focus areas. But in fact, with this specific one, it has actually been mandated to us now. When the president responded to the marches that happened to Parliament, he said that he would ask Parliament to take up the matter. He did that again in his speech yesterday. So now he has handed it over to us, and it really is a matter of priority for us to think about how, because these are the ideas, but how specifically do we make this happen? How do we take it forward? And how do we give it the urgency that the President has asked us to give it is going to be the issue going forward. Thank you, Chairperson. I will end there.
Thank you very much, Joy. Honourable members, Joy was giving us an overview of what we're expected to do as this caucus. Item number two, it will be the contact advisor who will give us the focus areas. But I think after the contact advisor giving us that focus areas, it's for this caucus to go and look into it. But for them to present, it will assist us, or to assist those who are not part of the steering committee to understand. Then when we go and engage the document or to put whatever we think it needs to be put according to what they did bring into us for now, then one will be having at least a knowledge of what is it that is expected from us as a caucus. Can I allow the contact advisor to deal with the second one?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tembakazi Bapel. I'm sorry, I'm the contact advisor for the Multiple Women's Caucus. I'm going to be speaking to this document. Unfortunately, it's not labeled. This one.
The focus areas that she's going to present is there in our document.
Yeah.
It's page one, but it's in the middle. I think it will be the 6, if not 7, page.
Okay. Can I continue, Chair?
Yes, you can continue.
Okay. I'm going to present on the focus areas as suggested by the steering committee on 25 July and confirmed on 4th September 2019. The suggested focus areas were informed by the 5th Multi-Party Women's Caucus Legacy Report, the 6th-term government priorities, as well as taking into consideration other instruments like your domestic laws, your regional and international obligations. The steering committee has suggested the following as areas of focus for the 6th Multi-Party Women's Caucus. They are in no order of preference, honorable members. I'm just going to mention them first. The first one is the decriminalization of sex work. The second one is women in politics. There is a sanitary dignity project. There is gender-based violence and femicide. There's strengthening of the national gender machinery. There's gender-responsive budgeting. There's women and health. And there is building relations with stakeholders. Honorable members, let me start by giving just a brief background information about each suggested focus area. Let me start with the decriminalization of sex work. This is one of the projects that are from the 5th Multi-Party Women's Caucus. It is about advocating for a legislative reform that decriminalizes sex work. The first multiple women's caucus was mandated by delegates during the 2015 and 2016 women's parliament sessions to advocate for decriminalization of sex work. Then they come out and voiced their support for decriminalization of sex work. They chose to use the term sex work instead of prostitution. They advocated for the release of a report by South African Law Reform Commission that was more than 10 years overdue. And when that report was finally released, a majority of stakeholders were very unhappy with the recommendations that were contained in there because the recommendations were not in support of decriminalization. Then the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus decided to host an imbizo here in Parliament for all stakeholders to guide, to gauge their responses on the recommendation of the South African Law Reform Commission. Then let me come to women in politics. Women in politics is about increasing the number of women participating and represented in politics. It's also about advocating for a gender-sensitive parliament that provides a conducive environment for current women members. It is the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus had engagement with the Independent Electoral Commission to advocate for reviewing of electoral laws to cater for the legislative quotas, but no positive results were yielded on that. The fifth Multiple Women's Caucus also launched the United Nations He for She program advocating male parliamentarians to be champions of gender equality. They also engage with various stakeholders inside and outside country in relation to women in politics. Then there is a sanitary dignity project. This project is from the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus. It was a twofold kind of a project. The first part was about removal of vets from the sanitary tower, from the sanitary project, and that was successful because it came into effect as in April 2019. The remaining part of the sanitary dignity is provision of free sanitary products to indigent women and girls. It was the desire of the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus to ensure that during the rollout of free provision, that women-owned business should either benefit as manufacturers or as distributors of the sanitary products. And the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus had various engagements with civil society, the National Treasury, as well as the Department of Women on this issue. Then let me come to the gender-based violence and femicide. I will talk more on this later. But the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus had various engagements with stakeholders like SAPS on issues related to human trafficking, Department of Social Development on their plan of action on violence against women and children, and various stakeholders. Also, the members of the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus were part of the delegates that attended the presidential summit on GBV and femicide. Then there is the issue of the National Gender Missionary. Just for information sake, the National Gender Missionary are those structures that were established by the National Policy Framework for Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality aimed at transforming a transformation towards gender equality in all sectors. The fifth Multiple Women's Caucus had engagements with the Department of Women about identifying challenges facing the NGM with a view of strengthening them. Then there is the issue of gender-responsive budgeting. The issue of gender-responsive budget is about a budget that takes into consideration the needs of women, men, girls, and boys in order to promote access, to promote equality, gender equality. Also, the fifth Multiple Women's Caucus had various engagements about the Department of Women about this issue, as they were planning to develop a gender-responsive planning and budgeting framework. Then another focus area is the women and health. This is a new focus area, and as such, there is no baseline work. But it was suggested that there is a need to focus on various health issues that are affecting women. For example, to deal with issues related to challenges within termination of pregnancy, teenage pregnancy, cancer, etc. The last one is strengthening and building relations with stakeholders, which will be done as the focus area. Honourable Members, let me then come to the suggested activities per focus area by implementation by the 6th Multiple Women's Focus. Under the decriminalisation of sex work, suggested activities include 1, a study tour to New Zealand where sex work is legal. Engagements with the Department of Justice and Correctional Services. On their last engagement with the 5th Multiple Women's, they had promised to table a legislative proposal in Parliament during the second half of 2018, but they haven't done that as yet. Honourable Members, I'm now on page 7, where it talks about outline of focus areas and such and activities. Also, under the issue of decriminalisation of sex work, the 6th Multiple Women's Caucus can engage the Justice Cluster and SAPS about current human rights violation of sex workers, as well as building relations with organisations working within the sex work industry. Also, maybe escalate the South African Law Reform recommendation to provincial and multi-party women's caucus so that a broader number of women's caucus are interacting with the recommendation. Let me come to the women in politics. The women in politics, the suggested activities include a study tour to Rwanda. Rwanda is currently ranked as number 1 by the IPU with more than 60 representation of women in parliament. Lobby for legislated and mandatory gender quotas for local and provincial and national government elections. As we know that the increase in number of women... Sorry. Okay. Lobby for legislated and mandatory gender quotas for local, provincial and national government elections. As we all know that currently, we don't have any legislated mandatory quotas, but the members are dependent on voluntary gender quotas set by different political organizations. Under women in politics as well, another activity should be to lobby for a gender-sensitive parliament, as well as adopt strategies aimed at supporting and capacitating the current women members so that they are able to stay longer in politics, also as well as engage and host other women's caucuses inside and outside countries. Let me come to the Sanitary Dignity Project. A possible study taught to Botswana or Kenya, engagement with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities about rollout of provision of free sanitary products, engagement with Department of Small Business about empowerment of women-owned businesses to manufacture and or distribute sanitary products. Currently, there are sporadic attempts by various provincial departments to provide free sanitary products. So we thought maybe the caucus can engage with those various provincial departments already providing free sanitary products to also market the idea of ensuring that women-owned businesses do benefit in the distribution and the manufacturing, as well as engaging with stakeholders that are advocating and providing free sanitary products. Let me come to the issue of gender-based violence and femicide. As I have mentioned previously, that the members of the 5th Multiple Women's Caucus were part of the delegates of the summit, of the presidential summit. So we thought maybe this 6th Multiple Women's Caucus can follow up on declarations undertaken during the presidential summit on GBV and femicide, and maybe the 6th Multiple Women's Caucus can start by engaging the interim steering committee on GBVF on the draft strategic plan. Another suggested activity under gender-based violence is to focus on safety of women and girls in school. Another activity under gender-based violence and femicide is implementation of the National Assembly motion referred to the 5th Parliament. In 2018, the National Assembly called for the 5th Multiple Women's Caucus to develop, adopt, and implement a comprehensive education and support program for all women. This was in relation when there was media coverage of women being abused in religious and other cultural settings. I think the motion is part of the package. It is listening. Yeah, I think so. On this issue, maybe because this was in relation of women abuses within religious and cultural settings, this motion was never implemented because it was already towards the end of the first term. Then it was referred to the 6th Multiple Women's Caucus for implementation. Then the start for the current Multiple Women's Caucus can be engagement with the CRL Commission about practices within religious and cultural settings that make women more vulnerable to abuse within this setting. Then the strengthening of the National Gender Missionary, a possible study taught to Uganda, engagements with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. They had promised that they were undertaking a diagnostic review of the National Gender Missionary. Then the study maybe for the current focus is to interact with the department on those challenges that they saw during the diagnostic report. Then the Multiple Women's Caucus can take can assist the department in addressing those challenges. Another suggested activity under national gender is that the Multiple Women's Caucus can also take an initiative and convene sessions with all the national gender missionaries, including women formations like USAWID and Progressive Women's Organization, because they are also part of the national gender missionaries. Then there is gender responsive budgeting, a suggested study taught to Rwanda as well, or can you maybe perhaps to Kenya. But Rwanda has a financial policy that provides for mandatory gender-responsive planning and reporting. Then as well, engage with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability about the gender-responsive budgeting, gender-responsive planning and budgeting framework. We also thought that while these processes are going on, then we can perhaps, if possible, source funds for empowerment of women on gender responsive budget so that members can really understand what it means, what gender responsive budgeting means, so that when they scrutinize the departmental budget and programs in their in various committees, they are able to ensure gender responsiveness. Then there is women and health. Under women and health, various health awareness could be implemented as by the South African health calendar. For example, October is breast cancer and mental health awareness. Then we can have programs around that health area as well as establish relations. The last one is building relations with stakeholders. Stakeholders will be their focus area to ensure that each focus area has relevant stakeholders who are able to provide a precise information to the Multi-Department Caucus for more focused lobbying and advocating. Thank you, Chair. That's all.
Thank you very much, Tembakazi. Who will be presenting the draft of the September?
Hi, that's me.
Okay. Honorable members, I want Mandy to present also the draft of the third term. Then, since we received this document today, here, we felt as a steering committee that we need to give time to the caucus to go and look into the document in order for us to input into it if we are in agreement. But let's give time to Mandy to give us the draft program. Is that in our document? Before the motion, there is a draft there. We can look into it. Thereafter, we'll agree on what to do. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. The draft program is for the next term from the 8th of October to the 6th of December. For that term, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus secured the 28th of the 31st of October and the 28th of November as meetings of the full caucus, and that is also, those meetings are also reflected in the draft parliamentary program for the third term. The steering committee has also secured permission to convene its meetings on Thursdays before party caucuses if there is a need to. So the committee program is drafted based on those approvals and the dates for the multi-party caucus. So on the Thursday, the 17th of October and the 24th of October are set aside for steering committee meetings. The 31st of October is a full caucus meeting, and the agenda is the briefing. Proposed agenda is the briefing by the Interim Steering Committee on Gender-Based Violence on the status of the draft National Strategic Plan, and a briefing by the Commission on the Protection of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Rights on the Abuse of Women in Religious and Cultural Settings. In addition to this, the committee will also adopt its minutes and receive a report back on matters arising from the previous meeting. On Thursday, the 7th of November and the 14th of November and the 21st of November, there are steering committee meetings, but on the 28th of November, it's a full caucus meeting again, and it is the proposed agenda is the gender responsive budgeting and national gender machinery, together with the committee's consideration of its first term program, matters arising, and the adoption of minutes. Parliament made provision for oversight for committees from the 2nd of December to the 6th of November. So the slot is, we've also included the slot for any visits members would want to undertake during that period. December. Yes, 2nd of December.
Thank you very much, Mandy. Honorable members, you will notice the dates of our proposed meetings. Parliament permitted us to meet once on the last week of the month, on a Thursday, meaning that each and every Thursday of the last week of the month, multi-party will be sitting. And the steering committee will be sitting before the caucus. The steering committee can sit also in Thursdays if there is some issues that need to be attended to by the steering committee. Thanks. Honorable members, as we suggested, as the steering committee, we said we need to give ourselves time or to familiarize ourselves with the document, looking into the focus areas that has been brought before us and some of the things that has been taken from the previously that we were dealing with during the fifth parliament that need us to attend to now. So our agreement is that we must go and look into the focus area. If there is something that need us or need the caucus to add or to subtract, even to prioritize, we must go and do that. If there is something that you need to put in, you must contact our secretary in order to filter in. So that when we meet on the 31st of October, we'll be dealing with this document. Thanks.
A hand at the back there. Honorable member, you can say your name so that we'll know each other before you speak.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Matapelo Siwisa from EFF. I thought you'd give us a platform to make an input not on the focus areas, but on this NGM issue that was spoken by, because if this program has been running for so long and it's not helping, then we need to change the way it's going to be done. Because we can't just sit and wait for, do talk shows and workshops when we know that there's actually a serious issue out there. On GBF, it's very serious. We need to change the way things are done, because one of the things that can be done is that we need to actually establish, as one of our members said yesterday, establish a call center here where those cases can be reported. We need to hold, as it's said here, that one of the duties of this NGM is to hold government accountable. And if we say we hold government accountable, which means we need to know how many cases are reported, how many cases have been followed up, how many cases have gone actually to court, we need to know the progress of those cases. And we can only do that if actually the station commanders and each and every subs police service is held accountable to come to this committee and tell us, this week we've got so many cases that have been reported, so many are being investigated, so many are in court right now. This is the progress. We are counseling the victims. We are counseling the families. We need to do that, because it's clear that whatever that was done by NGM in the past was not helping the society. We need to change the strategy of NGM. Thank you.
Honorable members, before I take some hands, can we be patient and give ourselves time with sober mind in dealing with this? I don't think we need to rush, because here we're also going to
change that way. We are going to have more cases of women dying and being raped.
Can I give direction as the chair? Honorable members, can you allow me to chair this caucus? We are all women here. We are all equal. I think we are all... as women, we also feel the same pain when it comes to women issues. We don't have to be too personal, and we don't have to be petty. But let's engage issues soberly. So that's my appeal. I said they were just giving us a brief. We've just received the report here. Because we're not going to deal with only one issue here. We're going to deal with issues also that are coming from the legacy report. And according to my understanding, it's not all of us here who went through the legacy report. It's not all of us here who are familiar with the issues in this document. So my appeal, our appeal as the steering committee, is to say, can we take the document and read? Then we put in what we think or that we feel is necessary to be put into We are not saying we don't want some other issues to be brought in. And we need to prioritize our issues to say, let's take this one as the first one, and we take this as the second. Each and every one is given that permission or that latitude to come or bring in something to say, I feel as member of this caucus that this is the first thing that we are going to deal with as this caucus of this sixth parliament. Do we understand each other, honorable members? I don't want us to rush, then tomorrow we'll be coming back to say, no, we were supposed to take this as our number one, but we failed, we did arrive into this. Thanks. Is there something that you want to talk about in relation to the document and putting in or taking out what is expected or what is not expected from the document? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think with me, I would want to concur with you on your first proposal to say let us go and familiarize ourselves with the document. You know what? I'm listening to the wow and what, it's out of order. What we're doing here is not to say whatever that is happening, we're not taking it serious. As activist people in our society, I think what we have to do today is what we were supposed to be doing every day in terms of ensuring that you lobby and advocate for gender issues. So the reason why we are here, we try to make sure that we strategize a responsive a document that would speak to whatever that is not it's been happening properly. So let us not act here as if whatever that has been happening of gender-based violence is not what we are concerned about as women. We, all of us, we are concerned, and we feel that this is a matter of agency. And we're not suppressing everything that has to do with services that need to happen with regards to gender-based violence. Thirdly, the issue is, I understand a fighter there is saying that there was a proposal of the call center. Gender issues are cross-cutting and they must be mainstreamed. It doesn't mean that we need a specific call center for gender-based violence. We have a call center in Parliament. So I hope you here, listening to the President yesterday, they will just activate to say this particular call center must include gender issues. So when people call, these issues are being addressed for. Everybody was listening to the President from their department. I hope that they've checked in terms of what is it that we need to do. Like, for instance, correctional services. We heard that from now on, nobody should be getting paid if all violating the rights are input. So I don't think whatever that you have suggested, you need to withdraw it and allow us to engage on this document, because it will be so premature that some of us will just speak general knowledge without quantified inputs that some of us would want to go and research. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope we understand. Do we still need to engage? The decision is that we need to familiarize ourselves with the document if we want to do justice. I'll give you time if there's something opposing the view. I'll give you time. Don't worry. I'll give you time. The issue is that we need to familiarize ourselves with the document. We are not saying that people need to bring in only things that has been put in here. You must also bring in something that you have after going through this one. That's what we're saying. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, colleagues. I want to support the view that you came with. And if we were to be honest to ourselves and to the communities we are representing today, we would not be doing justice to the document and to gender-based violence if we were to sit down and conclude on what's to be done now. Individually, we have a responsibility in our communities, especially that all of us are going for the constituency. It does not mean that as this caucus, we can take decisions, implement them today. So let us go back. I want to support the statement that let us go back, familiarize ourselves with the documents, and try and get what is it that our communities would like for us to do. Call other women forums in our communities. Let's join hands with the women in our communities so that when we come here, we do justice to exactly what is spoken about when we talk of gender-based violence. Us now fighting, wanting to agree or disagree on this document will not be helping us. Tomorrow all of us are going for constituency. So honestly speaking, you have concluded on the matter. It was not even necessary for us to open it up if really we want to do justice to this caucus.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Can I suppress... I'm still coming up with something. You didn't, or maybe you read my mind. I said, can I suppress other members and check, because two members have already spoken. Let I think we started very well with the prayer. We started very well with the prayer. I was coming up with this suggestion to say two members have already spoken, and if I may go deeper into that, two members from the ANC already...
I can't disrupt you. I respect you and the opposition you are given. But is it so unfair to us as women if we start to disrespect one another? You have said you want to give the clarity as to the issues and how to chair the meeting. We know that you have the capacity how to chair the meeting. But it can't be correct for someone to raise their hand while you are still trying to come up with the two proposals so that you want to check whether there is a different view towards that. Can we be patient with one another as women? And then from there, the chair will then... Can we allow the chair to chair the meeting, please?
Yes. And that's how we started our meeting to say...
Point of order. I'm also a woman. I also deserve to be respected. You shouldn't have lifted my hand. You should have just said one, two. I'm a woman now in this place, just like you and everybody else. And I also deserve respect.
Can I chair this meeting?
Chairperson.
Can I be given chance to chair this meeting?
Chairperson.
I'm suppressing every hand now. Please.
Something that might assist.
No. Please, Honorable Major, let me chair this meeting. Let me chair this meeting. Honorable members, I know that sometimes when we are together from different places of different political parties, we may end up bringing issues which are uncalled for. But what I wanted to say is that I have given chance to two honorable members. And according to my understanding, honorable members are from the part of the ANC. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say I'll give one member from the EFF. I can give one member from the DA to say something if there is something contrary to our agreement. That's what I wanted to say. I'm not against anyone. I'm a woman, and I also need to be respected as a woman. Thank you. The second, can you come up with what you wanted to say?
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I wanted to propose that we do engage the document, contrary to what has been proposed already, because it's been read out for us. And I think after having said that we relate to the issues that women face, then it is quite ironic that we now want to go back and engage further on issues that we already know. We know what is shorting, what is lacking in this document. We know what can be added, and we must be given an opportunity. And we're not saying people must not go back home and engage the document by themselves. It's fine, they can do that, but we can't now stop doing the work just because there's a few people who don't have an addition. It's okay to not have an addition to what this document has to add, right? But there are some of us who want to add the document, and we mustn't be stopped just because kunabantu abangazibafuna eta ini. That's what I'm saying. They can still go back home and interrogate the document, but the work must still be done regardless.
Can you be orderly? We didn't say that there are members who doesn't know what they are going to add. We all have something.
Then let's do that, Chair.
We all have something to add.
Perfect.
We are all responsible. That is why we are here. Can I give honorable member a chance? Then we close this meeting.
No. Comrades,
those that want to add, we said they will add and give it to the
secretary. Honorable members.
Yes.
The members of the steering committee, which they were given responsibility to develop a program for the coming 5 years, the strategic plan, met and come up with this document, and they've proposed areas that we need to focus on. And the issue of gender-based violence is number three in your document, if you read it, if you can see it. And it then said that because this is a multi-party caucus, women, every woman has to make input in the program of multi-party. Therefore, the steering committee developed this document to give it to members to go and interrogate as parties, as ordinary women in your constituencies, and come back here, enrich this document, and then we would have the strategic plan ourselves. That is how the strategic plan has been done. You would have to consult everybody that matters most. The purpose is about that only. It's not about who can read first, who can read faster. It's about consultation and make sure that we are taking the constituency, our constituency, on board. So we are saying members must take the documents and engage on it and come back. In the next caucus that we'll have, we are going to engage the document and finalize the focus areas and develop the plan for 5 years. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I take this end?
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I think everybody in this room needs to calm down because there's so much tension in this room, and it seems like, you know, we need to leave our political hats at the door, and we need to respect each other as women. And I think the way both political parties are doing it is really not acceptable. And I would like to check all of you, especially that were the lady who said "futsak" to Naledi. It's uncalled for, and it's not okay. And I think I heard it at the back. And I think that this is unacceptable. To be at a
can we give honorable member a chance to say what she wants to say?
And honestly, if we can't respect each other, then we shouldn't have a multi-party women's caucus because we're not going to achieve anything. In terms of these documents, I think this is a lesson to be learned. Let's not get documents so late. If we had received these documents last week, we would have been able to engage on it. And Honorable Shirwa is quite correct. The fact that we're continuously delaying it means that our work is delayed. So I hope this is a message to whoever is in charge of this to circulate these documents in time so that we have enough time to go through it, so when we come to this meeting, we don't have to waste any more time, because it's absolutely right. We need to do something right now.
Unfortunately, in the steering committee, all parties are represented. Yes. So when we come up with something, we must think whether we did do justice as members of this caucus. Each and every party is represented in a steering committee. If somebody wasn't in the meeting, it doesn't mean that something won't proceed. We need to stand because one member is absent during that particular time. It's wrong if one of the steering committee members will rise up to say something which should have been dealt with during the steering committee meeting. Thanks. Mark, I want to say something as a mother today to address us as your children.
Okay, Makaul. Singene ngama political parties. Funa manje sila iyeke ukuthwena iANC withDA iFP. Ngoba namanje ukuze sikwazi ukuthi silwe nalempe esiqondene nayo. Kuzofuna ke siyeke fana nalento ukuthi mhlambe mase sithi sesilungisa inkinga sizilungise ngokwe organization. Ngeke kulunga. Mina ngokwami ngifuna ukuthi ke siyeke mendaba ukuthi niphuma kuphi inhlangano kuphi. Okunye kokungiphatha kambe. Ngiyabonga futhi ngiyajabula mamithi sizo eda lana. Ngoba nami la kukhona mhlambe okunye nifakile mina mhlambe ezinjengami umama Khawule njengahambisani nako. Ngizohoxisa ngisho ukukhipheni kodwa. But nami ngifuna ukufaka la okunye ngibona ukuthi kusele ekufanele sixoxe ngakho. Ngiyadlula lapha kashuwe asifaka. Bengizocela mina u-honorable wami lo ongaphambi kwami angizisho ukuthi member DA ngithela la nto oqala siyeke ama-parties masila ukuthi uphumaphi. Akashikhombe kahle ukuthi ubani lo othefusek ngoba le nto ngempela kwamina ayiphathi kahle. La njengoba sinafuna sibekezelelane sazi ukuthi siphume emndenini ehlukene and izwe likanjenjenje mina khona into engizonitshela yona. Yingoba thina abantu besifazane first number one asizwane. Asihloniphani ngabe isemasontweni ngabe yikuphi thina abantu besifazane sinalento okubukelana phansi. Hlazane thina sakukhipha kuthina emakhanda ukuthi wena ungcono kunomunye awukwazi kulalela omunye siyohambisana izwe lobuya ngoba even izwe linjenjenje eminyango thina asinabo ubulungiswa thina qobo as mother uyakwazi ukubona ingane yakho ukuthi yenza into ethile usheshe uyiphendulele wena kathi ungahambanga naye indaba ilele kuthina bomama yingakho ngithi njengoba sila manje ake sifundeni manje ukuthi siba womama nothi ama-parties. Ama-parties wayibeka eceleni ngoba izwe linjenje even ama-graveyard angaka nje amathuna ithina bomama siphakathi kuyimanje nibonile abanye ade begwetshwa manje bebulala iy'ngane ithina obaba banalutho nalaba abarephayo ithina esizala laba bantu ithina futhi abamadoda ethu labantu siphethe le nto ukuthi sicindezela yonke into asifuni sisebenzisa womama as imanager yala yawo wonke umuzi. Akaveze manje kodwa kokugcina ngingasikhohlwa lapho ukuthi ubani othefuseka asitshele ukusholani aqolise manje asidlali-ke thina cela imbuzi ahlawule ukuze engaphindi. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khawula. Honorable members, if really there is somebody who insulted one another, it's wrong. If there is somebody who said that, can I find out if there is a member who said footsack to another member? No, honorable members. No. Let's respect one another and let's not fabricate things if are not there. Let's not come up with issues if are not there. Let's try and unite this house. Mom Khawula has spoken to say, let's forget about our political parties and think about us as women of this parliament, as women of South Africa. You know, we all have emotions. We're not the same, but let's try and find a space to find one another. Please. I think we are done. You wanted to say something?
No, I wanted
but,
to say...
But please don't open up.
No, I'm not opening, but I'm not opening any discussions,
okay.
Chair.
Okay.
I wanted to say, Chair, guide us and make a ruling in terms of the way forward. Thank you.
Can I close? Okay. Let me give honorable member there.
Thank you, Chair. Just before you go ahead on the way forward, just one thing I would like to plead. I do not see in the documents, unless I missed it, and I didn't hear it in the presentation, I do not hear the voices of people with disabilities mentioned here. Only the department, yes, but the issues, whatever we are doing, everything that we are doing needs to cover women and children with disabilities as well, because they are also facing gender-based violence. So please, please, can we just include that in all the issues there? Thanks.
Thank you very much. You know, we were talking about the document, and we said we need to go and add. There is something emanating. We are still here, but some wanted us to engage. Thank you very much. I think they are going to add it, but I think you need to bring in some of the things that you know that need to be here or to form part of this document. Thank you very much. Honorable members, let's go and engage the document. Let's make sure that on the 31st of October, we're all in here to engage each other in making sure that our country will get rid of what we're experiencing now. Thank you very much. The meeting adjourned.